In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And brothers and sisters, the epistle for this Sunday is from 1 Corinthians, and it is that passage where the apostle talks about the apostles that are appointed last, appointed unto death, and he gives some descriptions of some things that they do and the way they are perceived by the world. Let's look at just a couple things in this selection. I recommend that this is the way that you kind of read the scripture. You don't only have so much time, and the scripture is complex. So if there's a word, if there's a phrase that particularly touches you, meditate on that for a little while. Don't try to understand every jot and tittle of the entire selection, but perhaps there's something that really touches you. This is especially true, I think, in the Old Testament and with the prophets. Sometimes their prophecies are very, very complex and difficult to understand. But then they say something that's clear and simple and very powerful in the midst of something very complex. So learn to kind of look at Scripture with an eye towards what is it in here that I can understand right now. And that's what I try to do. And all I do is circle stuff and then decide to speak about it. So the apostle says, we are made a spectacle unto the world, to angels and to men. What is a spectacle? Well, the world doesn't understand us. The apostle is saying, and he follows it up with some examples, that what they are teaching, what they are preaching, the people they are, is not understood by the world, and therefore the world considers them to be a scandal or a spectacle. And the idea that they are a spectacle to angels is not in the same context, not in the same exact way, that the angels are amazed that men could become so close to God. In that way, they are a spectacle to angels. He says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. He's not saying something that's absolutely true. He's saying that we are perceived as fools, but you are perceived as wise, meaning the world. We're perceived as weak, you're perceived of as strong. And we are perceived of being despised, dishonorable. He says, offscouring of the world, but you're perceived as being honorable. And that's, you can see that in the world today. You can see that in the controversies that happen constantly in our news. Most of them seem to be moral controversies, sexual immorality being the most important one right now that seems to be talked about all the time. And you can see when someone takes any kind of moral Christian position, they are called to be hateful, all kinds of other terms. Hateful would be a minor pejorative compared to some of the other things that these people say. And so, if you stand for Christianity, this is going to happen to you. If it's not happening to you, then, or if you don't have positions that are being talked about in the world as being unreasonable and backwards and hateful and phobic and all the other things, then you'd best look at your opinions and see if they're in line with the Christian way of life. And so he goes on and says, and we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. When I saw that, I thought, is that what I do? And I think you should think the same thing. Is that what we do? That's not what Hollywood movies do. That's not what our culture talks about. What we deserve, we should get, according to our culture. If you don't like something, you should press on for it because you deserve it. Most of advertising is about you are a special person and you deserve this special thing. And yet, the apostle says, being reviled, we bless. Now, that's something that is a difficult thing to live up to. And then he said, I'm skipping a little because, like I said, I'm just kind of circling stuff that kind of hits me at the moment. Being defamed, we entreat. All right? We all know what being defamed is, right? Being told you're stupid or backward or hateful or all the other things. But entreat, who are we entreating? Well, I'm sure you would understand that we're not going to go in and treat somebody that calls you phobic because you have a Christian viewpoint about sexuality, right? They're not going to hear it. They just want you to kowtow to their opinion and promote it. So you're not entreating that person. We entreat God. Because really, with all of these things, only God can help. Only God will change minds. Or will help minds to be changed. We should never say God changes minds, because he doesn't. But only God will help us to be in a position where we can come to our senses. So when we are defamed, entreat God. You see, the Psalms are like this all the time. The Psalms are full of this kind of stuff. That when David was in trouble, he would mention his troubles, sometimes in vivid detail, and then he would entreat God. And then he says, the apostle, I write these things not to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. So he's telling that he's an apostle, and the apostles are considered to be off-scouring of the world, and that they're considered to be weak, but the world's considered to be strong, dishonorable, but the world is considered to be honorable, etc. And then he goes through some other details that I didn't tell you about. And he says, I don't write these things to shame you, but to warn you. What's he warning us about? He just said, warn you. That means the reader. So what's he warning you about? He's warning you that if you're a Christian, people are going to hate you. Now, they better hate you because of your beliefs, not because of the person you are. But they're going to hate you because of your beliefs. The world does not love Christianity. Even within supposed Christian churches, the world does not love Christianity. We see that all over the place. Because Christianity is being thrown out, and some sort of relativism, humanism, some sort of immoral perversity is being shoved in. And those that dare to have a Christian view are hated. It's going to happen to you. Then St. Paul says something that I guess the Reformers probably wanted to get rid of it, because it definitely is where St. Paul is saying he's their father. Not their father in terms of being God, because only God is our father in that way, but he has begotten them through the gospel, he tells them. Why? Because he preached the good news, and they were born again because of it. And he was the agency by which they came to know the gospel. And then he says something that terrifies me every time I read it. Because especially for priests, for bishops, but for everybody. Also, he says, we must heed these words, and we must be such that these words would apply to us in a positive way. He says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Can we say that about ourselves? That we are followers of Paul, who is a follower of Christ, and therefore we could then say to someone, follow me? Live by my example? You must. It's not optional. Christianity is not just some sort of philosophical system. Christianity is the way we live. And if people see contradictions in the way we live, God will judge us for it. So we must be such that people would imitate us. That's frightening to me. And it should be frightening to you. And it'll even be frightening to someone who's living in a perfect way because of that wonderful virtue of the fear of God. But let's strive so that we would be such that people would want to follow us. Or hate us. But let nobody be neutral about us. So may God help us to follow the words of the apostle here. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and under the ages of ages.